One of these days, you're going to see me do it faster than that. I fear. I can feel eyes on me when I'm going down them steps, like, catch you. All right. Hey, I've earned all that. Been around a long time. Open your Bible to the book of Proverbs tonight for just a little while. We got through the announcements really quick, and I thought we would. We're going to go have the meeting afterwards, and I don't know what Hector's going to do for choir practice, but we got to have a good choir Sunday, too. Amen? You worried about that, too? All right. Let you worry about it. I got enough to worry about. Once you go to Proverbs, let's go to chapter 25. We might read a verse in another chapter. Proverbs. And Proverbs has some really good down-to-earth, where the tire meets the road advice for us. And warnings, tells us about traps, tells us about the fallen human nature that you got to always be on guard against. Proverbs 25, I'll tie some of this together maybe in just a little bit. Verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. That's good advice. When thy neighbor hath put thee to shame, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, not on social media. Oh, that's not right in there. Well, it is in there, too. I see it right there on top of this thing. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another or to the whole world on Facebook. Verse 10. Lest he that beareth it put thee to shame and thine infamy. You know what? That's telling you that you'll build a reputation. You'll become infamous for doing wrong, for gossiping, and all of that sort of stuff. That's what it's talking about. Then I want you to go back with me to chapter 18 of Proverbs, chapter 18. And I want you to find it now, because this verse says it even plainer. Proverbs 18, look at verse 13. Verse 13. College students and everybody else, mark this. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. I'm going to read that again. That's powerful. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it. Boy, we got that going on in Washington, D.C. big time. It is folly. That's what's up there. It is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Let me talk to you a little bit on the subjects that's basically in these verses that I just read to you. I think I'll call it, don't jump to a conclusion or don't jump to judgment too quick. The text says what it says. It just warns you that's trouble. You're going to get in trouble for it. It's wrong to do it. And yet, let me say, in the old depraved fleshly nature of all of us, it's easy to do. Really, really easy to do. We see the media, I started to say they were embarrassing themselves, but they've gotten so low they can't embarrass themselves anymore. But anyway, they ought to be embarrassed. I put it that way. They ought to be embarrassed over some of the stuff that's going on. They attack the Catholic school, the students that were standing out there waiting on the bus, and jumped to a conclusion and said the most awful, awful things. And the kids were standing there being attacked themselves. But they got one little blurb, and that's all it takes anymore. Have you noticed that? Just a little blurb on that little magic box you carry in your hand, can't live without. That's all it takes, just a little bit of false information. They grab it and run. They never wait to get the whole story. And that's what they did there. And that's too bad. That really is too bad. They should have waited and got the whole story. But you know what? That is human nature. I think about I guess it was a high school. This is supposed to really happen. High school, and some of the high school boys decided to pull a prank. It was kind of out in the country school, I reckon. They had access to various country things. And so when they all got to school that morning, they found goats out on the manicured lawn eating the grass. And the goats had numbers on them. And of course, the staff ran out, the teachers ran out to corral the goats. And one goat had number one on it. The other goat had number three on it. They found them real quick, but they kept all day long looking for goat with number two on it. So the kids got a break that day because they never found number two, because number two didn't exist. But the high schoolers were smart enough to figure if they thought there was a number one and a number three, they'd look all day for number two. Jump to a conclusion. That's what we're good at doing. And sometimes it traps us. Sometimes it really, really does trap us. Fake news today with all the anti-Trump hate. They put out the other day that he told his lawyer to lie, and now they've had pie on their face. But when the truth came out on it, but look what happens. Suggestion's poison. And sometimes they stay forever. That's sad, but it's true. It's really, really, really true. I mean, just the suggestion. What it animates. What it makes somebody think of. And you can't get rid of it sometime. I think about the ship captain that caught the first mate drinking. So he wrote up in the ship log. And his ship log's sort of like a diary out there, keeping a record of it for the company and everything. So the captain of the ship wrote in the log, caught the first mate drunk today. Well, the first mate didn't like it. So after a few days, he went and entered in the log. The captain was not drunk today. Now, do you get what he said? He intimated this particular day he's not drunk. It was the truth. He never was drunk. But if you read that, you'd think, well, bless God, the captain wasn't drunk today. Isn't it amazing how we spin things and how it sticks? They tell me, and I know it to be true. I know a case or two of it, where somebody's even been falsely charged by the law, and it's got on their record, and it's the hardest thing in the world to get it off. Can't hardly get it off, and you can punch up their name and run the records, and all of a sudden there it is again. That's one of the problems we have here with the church. And of course we have to have a website and all that business, but sometimes you have false accusations. People jump to conclusions, then find out later they were dead wrong, but there it is, the suggestion was out there. That's a real trick the devil's using today. Really is bad, but it's happening. It really does happen. Now, here's a principle, though, that we all need to be careful about, because it can be us. Now, we can laugh about it a little bit, but it's not funny when you've had your reputation slandered, when somebody's believing something about you that was not true because the devil kicked it up. I think about the preacher that got wrote up in the paper this week, Pastor so-and-so, beat his wife up. He pulled her out of the house by the hair of her head, right out in the street in front of the neighbors, and she had to go to the hospital, and all the paper wrote it up big as it was reported to him. Preacher decided he better answer back finally. So he answered back and said, I did not beat up my wife. I did not pull her hair. I did not pull her out in the street in front of everybody. She did not have to go to the hospital. In fact, I don't even have a wife. I'm not married. Now, while we laugh about that, that's just how foolish and dangerous and deadly this sort of stuff is. And we see it in the media, and I have to turn it off. I get so mad at them sometime. But we got to be careful, and the devil knows how to set traps for us, and he knows we're going to jump to a conclusion. He knows we're going to rush, as it were, to judgment. I think about years ago, happened years ago, and we Christians are gullible sometime. I probably in my past have read something for the truth and even preached that it was, and later on was ashamed that I didn't check it out further. Most preachers have had that happen to them at one time or another. I tell you one thing, I'm a lot more gun-shy than I used to be about stuff like that. But I remember years ago, and I didn't preach this, I saw it was probably a trap to start with. They've done one or two on Noah's Ark, that, oh, we found it. No, you didn't. You're lying. But you wanted us Christians to take it and run with it. That sort of thing. There was a time they're supposed to be drilling a well, drilling an oil well over somewhere, Europe, wherever it was. And the story got going around that they heard noises coming out of the hole, that they dug so deep. And finally, they dropped the microphone down, and actually it went so far down till it got close to hell, and they were hearing the crying voices out of hell. And then after they publicized it, and it even made a few religious papers and stuff, then the guys that put the hoax up said, ha, 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 we fooled you suckers. Didn't you ever think that if the microphone ever got that close to hell, it was going to melt? Remember that? But isn't it amazing how we sometimes are gullible, and I preached on it Sunday, I guess it's a little continuation of that thought. People believe lies because they want to believe them. That's it. That's it. If I don't like that guy and I heard something bad about him, I'm probably going to believe it. If I do like him, maybe I'll defend him. I am surprised sometimes how quick some folks can switch from your best friend to your worst enemy. And they can. Yes, they can. That's too bad. That's too bad that it happens that way. But one of the sins of our high-tech age is everybody's got an instant opinion. By the way, could I meddle with somebody? A lot of folks don't give a toot about your opinion. I could care less whether you had grits and eggs for breakfast or cereal this morning. I could care less what type toothpaste you use or whether you're wearing socks today. You get up in the morning, world, here I am. Don't you want to know every little thing about me? Woo! Can't hardly handle that. It's crazy. Crazy. Amen. That's the instant age. Living in cyberspace. Crazy. Everybody got an instant opinion in social media. And Christians, we better beware. Many, I'm going to be mean if I can remember how tonight, to say to you, this is the book you ought to be in, not the electronic one, not the social media. It's a useful tool, but when it becomes your God and the world you live in, you've overdone it. And truthfully, and you young people run your antenna, you'd be so addicted to that thing, you don't even know what this book says. In fact, when you get some of this book, you get it off of it. You say, well, I got the Bible on it. Uh-huh, what else you got on it? See, what else you got on it you won't find in here. You won't find the porn in here, see. See, you won't find that junk that's got a hold of you. Got you. And you're addicted to it. And I saw for real, and the doctor on TV said, this is not theory, this is not my idea, this is fact. And he showed a picture of a big human brain on the screen. And he showed the kids that had been on the social media, on the electronic thing, addicted to it, and he showed how it was now showing up in the growth pattern in certain sections of their brain. He said, this is not theory. We got proof now. We got stats. What's it going to be 10 years from now? Look how quick it has come and how folks are so addicted to it today. All right, I'm just telling you, this old preacher may be dead before that tumor grows out of your head and horn or whatever's going to grow out, and you say, oh, the preacher was right. Trouble is right now, you can't hardly get along without it. Somebody says, well, if the rapture didn't take place and the Antichrist come along and he wouldn't take his number, I wouldn't take it. All he'd have to do is say, if you don't take your number, you're going to give up your cell phone. You'd take it instantly. Wouldn't be no debate. When the news broke out here not too long ago that everything that was being said on cell phones was being recorded, everybody said, oh, we don't like that. But they kept on doing it. Nobody stopped. Nobody turned in the phone. All right, just help yourself. But if we look around and see this foolishness today, the sin of the high-tech age is setting traps for a lot of people, a lot of people. And it's too bad. Now, I know we're in the hate age, satanic hate, really. Trump wasn't supposed to win. He's rocking the boat. He's not going along with the status quo. And so that's what makes him bad. Hey, they liked him all right. His adulterous life didn't bother them a bit when he was out there in the world. But when he left that and turned to trying to do something good and stand for some values like stopping the abortion mills, boy, all of a sudden he's enemy number one. And I have never seen anybody come under attack like the man has. I don't know how it's going to turn out. You heard me preach this, and this ain't going to cost you nothing. Excuse me, it ain't. If God's in it, he's not through with him yet. If God put him in, I'm amazed how every time they throw something against him, he don't go down. Isn't that amazing? Really is. And I hope he don't. I hope God's buying us a little time with him, but I don't know. We may be brought out of it. I'm not sure. But if God lets go of him, he's a goner. I've never seen such attack on anybody in all my life. These kids that they falsely accused there, before they watched the whole video, wanted to punch them in the face, wanted to kill them and do all those bad things to them. Those kids had on Make America Great Again caps. That was what the whole problem was. And they were attending a pro-life rally, which means trying to save the baby's lives. That's what the whole attack was about. That's what it was about. And just ridiculous. The real issue was they were standing for some kind of righteous value, like saving the baby's lives. Well, anyway... Some folks jump to the conclusion, and here's the thing: they've already gotten to the place they're so into the what the Bible calls reprobate mind. They're into it now to where when they're caught with their hand in the cookie jar, they still won't admit it, still won't apologize. Isn't it amazing? It is really something. It's different from the country I was raised in, and many of you, just different in the values, different in the way character expressed itself, that sort of thing. Now, I just want to say this. Let's not be guilty of jumping to conclusions. Great harm can be done. Lives can be ruined. And it's sad, but it does happen. A lot of folks get scarred even in grammar school, or sometime even earlier, and then certainly later. Do you know most... inferiority complexes first show up in school with kids? It really does. And sometimes those scars and complexes, people never grow out of them. And sometimes a false accusation is behind that sort of thing. We really need to be careful that we know what we're talking about. And then let me say this, and you've heard me say it before. Just because something may be true, still may not be right for you to tell it. Amen. May not be right for you to expose somebody else. How would you like to be treated? I think Jesus said something about that, didn't he? Amen. What we call the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It's reversed today. It's do others for they do you. That's the reverse on it today. But a lot of harm is being done. A lot of lives are being ruined. A lot of complexes are developed that people never get over with. And by the way, when you do wrong, you ought to apologize. But apologies don't always erase scars or wounds. They really don't. And I want to move it down now to a little bit where we're at right here tonight for the next 3 or 4 minutes. This coming Sunday, we're going to pump the buses up. I hope we're going to have, I don't know what I'm holding Brother Pitts responsible for, is it 800 or 1,000 or somewhere in that neighborhood? So you bus workers, he'll take it out on you if you don't get that number. Got it? All right. Anyway, we're going to have, we hope to double. I think we hope to double them up. And I hope so, because every rider is a soul and important. And we know that. And yet, most of our riders come fairly regular. We try to get new ones every week, but we have a lot of riders come. And you know what? After they've come, they don't come many times without getting saved. They generally get saved after a while and don't take many trips. And they kind of, are they still not where we'd like for them to be? The hard challenge is to disciple, to get them to dress right and to break away from some of the trash and the gang and all that that they're raised in, the neighborhood and the school. Oh, that's always our fight. But after they've come a while, they kind of know how to act in church. You can kind of trust they're pretty well going to do right. Once in a while, one will take off uptown or something, but you know. But I'm talking about after they've been a while, they fit in. Now, here's what's going to happen this Sunday. We're going to have some that's never been to church. We're going to have some that are not necessarily doing wrong. They don't know what wrong is. They don't know right and wrong, how to handle themselves. Because when they go to the public schools and other places, nobody tells them they can't do this or can't do that or how they ought to act. But we're going to be telling them that. But I'm saying now to my workers tonight, all of us, we're going to have to walk a little second mile. That don't mean we condone wrong or let them get by with wrong. We'll actually have some policemen in uniform walking around at the big party, and that helps a lot. Helps a lot. But what I'm saying is have patience, try to teach. We're not going to let them get by with a whole bunch of stuff, but understand many of them won't know how to work. And we've seen some cases in the past where some gang members even came and got saved. So that's what it's about. That's what it's about. So we want to be careful. We want to be wise in those areas. And I'd like for all of them to come and do right instantly, but they're not. And by the way, when somebody gets saved, they got to have some growing time. And then it's our responsibility to help them grow. We understand that. But look at it sort of like this. This is a crude Mickey illustration. But I've often said about a situation like that. Carpenter goes out here to build a building. He orders the lumber from the lumber yard. The big trailer of lumber comes out and unloads it, and the carpenter goes and looks and says, well, none of that stuff's the right size. None of that stuff is the exact length. Take it back. It's no good. That's not what he does. He gets out his tools and goes to work on it. He makes it the right length. He shapes it the way he wants it shaped. Then he builds something out of it. And that's our job. We're bringing in raw material. We got to work on it. We got to get it to fit the pattern we want it to fit. And that's not easy. It's work. It's work. And I would just challenge us, let's remember to be wise in that. There's a verse we might ought to memorize if you don't already have it memorized. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That chapter starts off with Paul rebuking a worldly church, a church that needed to grow, the church at Corinth. He's fussing at them because they're going to law with each other. And he rebukes them about that. And he rebukes them because they've all got their rights on their shoulder and afraid somebody's going to do them wrong. And in verse 7, he says, why do you not rather take wrong? And moving on down, verse 9, he has a whole list here. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. There's your homosexuality thing right there in verse 9. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkenness, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's where I want you to just look at it. What a list he's got up here. Bad list. Look what the next line says in verse 11. And such were some of you. When we've been saved so long, we forget what we were saved out of. That's not right. There's a little statement, so-and-so sees the, you see the bad. The little statement, except by the grace of God, there go I. Amen. But hold on to that. Amen. Do you ever in your private prayer in your mind and your thinking and your relationship with God, do you ever say, Lord, except by your grace, that'd be me. Except by your grace, that'd be me. I'd be there. Sure, we better never get too far from that. And that'll help us then to have compassion on the one that's a long way from where we are. I'm sure glad somebody had compassion on me. I'm sure glad somebody didn't say that worthless thing, no, it never amount to nothing, and not even try. Probably at some time or another, we've all done that a little bit. But we ought to get over that. Because what he says here in verse 11, and such were some of you, but here's the good part, but ye are washed. You're sanctified. Man. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This church at Corinth was a rotten mess, but he reminded them they've been washed, they've been sanctified, they're not what they were. Amen. And he's saying, just remember, such were some of you. That'll help us, folks. That'll help you to be a soul winner, help you to be a church worker, help you to remember, except by God's grace, there go I. As we face this Sunday and all the challenges we'll have, let's just keep in mind, and God give us grace, and we pass that grace. And I heard a preacher say not long ago, just in talking, not in a sermon, just talking with him. He's talking about a brother that had messed up bad. And he said, I realized nobody else probably would, so I wrote him a letter. And here's what he said that was good and right. He said, I thought I would show him a little grace because one day I might need a little grace. And that's good. That's good. Amen. All right, let's stand. Father, we